Number 89. Welcome to These Fantastic Worlds, Science Fiction and Fantasy Podcast by Jake Jackson. This week's story is a science fiction fantasy with a bit of mystery thrown in. A detective is called to a series of strange deaths at the furthest city in the universe. But all is not what it seems. It's called Feathers. They found another one, boss. The detective recently assigned to the station rushed in, looking both excited and distressed. Well, that's why you're here, Chang. Gather what you need and get back out there. The city needs your expertise, apparently, because we can't solve this crime wave. The police commissioner grumbled. For years, he'd served Marduk, this outermost city of the Confederation, an outpost of science and culture designed to bring prosperous peace to humans and the many other species in this sector. Sure. Special Detective Jang nodded curtly, knowing efficiency over friendliness would win the respect of a man unused to solving crimes. Jang, sir? What was the state of the body? Translucent, they said. Take Officer Seema. She has the best brain amongst us. Oh, okay. Chang lifted his eyebrows. And don't tell her I said that. Of course, not my place. Chang filtered from the room. Not used to the door protocols of this city, he was liable to phase directly into his next location without warning. Officer Seema! Chang appeared in the middle of the busy operations floor, just by the floating view screen, where Seema was studying the latest reports of the deaths that had gripped the city in the last few weeks. I wish you wouldn't do that, she murmured. Sorry! Chang closed his eyes for a moment. I need you to accompany me to this latest death. I think there's a bigger problem. Me too. Look at this. She flicked the view screen towards Chang. Four lines of text floated across. At the edge of the universe, an angel weeps vast tears that lap at the long shores of life. But now all its feathers fall as souls depart and sink beneath the oceans of our end. Gobbledygook. Chang looked at the notes underneath. Prophecy. Officer Seema scrolled to the end of the notes. Phrases from this poem have appeared on the flesh of every death. You reconstructed this? Chang glimpsed across at Seema's placid face. I just matched the various phrases from religious tracts from the last 10,000 years. Well, easy to do, but what made you try? Well, the language is too ornamented for anyone I know. You're the science tech, you're bound to say that. Yes, but my job is to study patterns, and this one leapt out immediately. You said the words had appeared on the flesh. How? As though it had been burned in. Like torture? More like homegrown, settled in. So you think some sort of death wish? Or despair? Evidence? None that would stand up in court. But these deaths seem random. At first we thought they were victims of blackmail, but there's no sign of any of that in their bank accounts. How many deaths now? 2,000. What? It was just a few hundred when I arrived. It's accelerating. This city has 20 million souls, but they're disappearing rapidly. You just said souls. Yes. You mean that? Curiously old-fashioned. But that text comes from a tomb buried on Earth, at the top of the Nile near the Rift Valley, 12,000 years ago. Discovered only recently in excavations, now the home planet is habitable again. I don't know my ancient history. But that seems like before language was invented on Earth. That's right. Long before. It's written as a sort of incantation, but it's definitely a prophecy, carved into the walls of the burial chamber, sort of hieroglyphic, pictographic symbols, like those of other species, so easy to cross-reference. Who's buried? No one knows. But the dome is covered in intricate patterns and scenes which are still being studied, and they've not exhumed the body. What? It's still intact. Encased in liquid, inside a dome of volcanic rock. How did it get there? Almost as if it had been pushed up from inside, below the mantle of the planet. Look, I need you to come with me, check out this body, see if it's the same as the others. I hate field work. Don't like getting your hands dirty? Something like that. It's the weather. It hasn't stopped raining for weeks. Chang and Seema arrived at the back street where the latest body lay still surrounded by the security shield, kept dry from the plummeting rain. The face was flat against the floor, eyes closed, old-world clothes, leather-based, tattered, and the whole figure gave the impression of floating. "What are you thinking?" Chang looked at Sima. She always seemed ahead of him. "Well, this character shouldn't be here, in this street, at this time." She scanned the body with the biosignature reader. "Well?" Chang had kneeled down and checked the writing that snaked from the top of the woman's exposed arm. "Same as the others. Nothing particularly out of the ordinary, but displaced in time. As though they died somewhere else, in another time." "What's that?" Chang reached across the left arm of the body. "A feather." "It's barely there. I didn't notice it before. Look, it's soft, sort of pale and blue and white. Have you noticed one other strange thing? Look, there's more than one set of footprints." "Ah, we've kept this one out for you, just to look at." Sima looked at Chang. "Why so?" "Well, we didn't know what to do with the others. We've never had murders or deaths like this here. So we took them to the mortuary immediately. Then we heard you were coming." "Have you looked at them since?" "No." "Then we'd better go there." "Is it my imagination, or is that body just a bit more transparent, fading?" They stepped out of the shield into the rain and filtered off to the mortuary. Chang and Sima arrived inside a large hall with columns designed to recall the ancient temples of prehistory. Hundreds of long white boxes were laid out row upon sombre row. "So many. There's no room for any more." "There'd better be. I've just heard more reports coming in. Deaths everywhere." "I need to look inside these coffins." Chang sighed. "Really? I'll call one of the supervisors." Chang spoke into his headpiece, and two white-suited bald men glided in from a hidden doorway and unlocked the white boxes that surrounded Chang and Sima. The lids opened slowly, puffs of cold air blooming around them. The detective and the science officer peered inside those nearest. "They've gone," Sima shouted. "No, look again. A feather. It's barely visible." So there were two people in that street. They looked at all the open boxes. In each one, a different coloured feather lay in peace where a body should have been. "There's nothing we can do." Chang looked at Sima, and they leaned against the white boxes, watching her feathers disappear slowly. "I think you're disappearing," Sima shook her head. "You too." Chang tried to laugh, but choked quietly instead. In another place, in a dome that's travelled the fields of time since the beginnings of the universe, an ancient figure uncoils itself. From its kernel suspended in mid-air, it unfurls tiny filaments into tendrils that grow into bones to be swiftly, smoothly covered by muscles. Flesh follows, rippling across its form, while all around a subtle chorus of all languages from organic and living matter recites simple words in a glorious wave of sound. At the edge of time, an angel weeps, vast tears that lap at the shores of life. But now all feathers fall as souls depart and sink beneath the oceans of our end, to be bathed and cleansed of pain, to burst anew at dawn and sing again. The figure holds out its arms to receive the gifts of the universe as feathers drop from the air. Clouds of gentle colour falling into its hands and across its arms and along to its back where the beginnings of wings accumulate. The creature, a being from pre-eternity, draws strength from the souls of all life and prepares to destroy this tired realm to replace it once more with a new universe. Thank you again for listening. You might be interested to know I'm planning a series of interviews with other science fiction and fantasy writers, both with short stories and novels. More on that soon. Anyway, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for listening, as always. I really do appreciate it. I know I keep saying that, but it's true. This is Jake Jackson. See you next time. Goodbye.